Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm absolutely wonderful.
Well, and I can't believe that we're four, a couple of days away from Thanksgiving. It shocks me that we're this far into the year. I know we've talked about it, but it just, when it's actually here, you know, I'm talking to clients on the phone and they're like, oh, happy Thanksgiving. I keep thinking that we still have a couple of weeks, but we don't. It's right upon us.
That's right. Well, you know, I need a couple of weeks. I don't have them, but I want them and need them. Oh, my gosh. I'm so far behind that it would be a blessing. But, I guess I'll just take the blessings as they come.
Either that or you need to clone some more of you so that you've got four Fays to do everything.
You know, if I had four Fays, can you imagine what I could accomplish? I could take on the world.
You could. I've seen what one Fay can do, but boy, if you had four Fays, you'd look out,
oh,
everybody, get out the way.
I don't think the world is ready for that.
I don't think so.
But you know, they're always cloning things. I think I should volunteer.
Yeah.
You know?
Be on the list. Hey, let's see what happens.
I think I need to get on the list and say, you know, I think we need to clone me for that. When I'm gone from this world, there'll be another Fay and another Fay.
Yeah, it just keeps going, and the world doesn't miss a beat. And boy, that you could even rent your clone self out and imagine what you could do for other people on top of your own self.
You know, if I could get myself cloned, there's no telling what I could accomplish.
I know. Wouldn't that be cool? We meant that as a joke, but now I'm sitting here thinking about it for real. I'm like, you know, that's not a bad idea.
Whew. Well, you know, that guy in, where is it, Nevada or somewhere, you know, he has his chamber, and he puts people in it, you know, to make them younger and do all this. And somebody got locked in, and I think they got blown up.
Are you serious? like, for real?
I mean, not for real. I mean, I think it fried their hair and all this other stuff, you know.
But there's a guy
They did have an accident there. I remember that.
Oh, no.
And he was making people young again. But the guy that happened to didn't feel very young, I don't think.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think he did not finish the deal.
I didn't even know.
I think he went home fast.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, but instead of getting
younger.
You know,
it's funny what really wealthy people decide to do with their money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The world is their oyster. I didn't know there was a guy.
They said, well, you know, if you can make me young, I'll pay no matter what it is.
Yeah. You know,
it's strange.
I could come up with something to make him young. Sure, just write me a check for something. I'll come up with something. Happy to take your money.
Well, you know, these hucksters are always claiming they can do all kinds of things. You know that.
Yeah, yeah. They say all kinds of things about spring water and drink this magic potion. And here's a special cream that you can put on made from special melons from some exotic place. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, years ago, I met this guy that his uncle was selling this water from Israel. And it was having it shipped over here, so to speak. I don't know if he actually shipped one drop over here, but he was selling it for to be this precious water from the river over there.
Oh, my.
And people were paying for it.
Really?
So, you know, people will do all kinds of things.
Wow. And it makes you wonder if it just came out of his kitchen sink and he put it
in. That's what I'm afraid of. It probably did. And just, can you imagine bottling that and just laughing and selling it?
Oh, my word. Yeah. Boy, if something like that ever happened and they got caught, imagine the uprise. Oh, there'd be some mad people.
Do you remember that old movie years ago? And I'm trying to think who starred in it. I could tell you, but and anyway, he was selling these Bibles, and he would go up to these houses to these widows. He'd look in the paper first and get the information on them, and he'd go up there and he said, Is your husband home? I need to see him. And the lady would say, I'm sorry, he died last month. And he said, oh, well, I guess I better take this Bible back. And they'd say, what do you mean? Well, your husband ordered this Bible for you, ma'am, about a month ago, and I'm here to deliver it. Oh, well, she said, if he did, I'll pay you for it.
Oh.
And he was sold more Bibles doing that.
Oh.
It was a famous movie.
Is it based on a true story by any chance?
I have no idea, but it was good.
Oh, wow.
And it was in the 30s, and a long time ago. And he would come up in this old car and just act so sincere. And the Bibles were ordered a long time ago, and he would have all the information about them in the inside of that Bible.
Oh.
He would have looked it up in the newspaper, got all the information on the family. And these widows would pay their last dime to get that Bible.
Oh, thinking it was something special.
Yeah, thinking it was that their husband was thinking of them the last thing he did in life.
Oh, my word. Golly. I hope that's...
Tatum O'Neill was the little girl in it.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Well, I'm going to have to look this up then, because now I kind of want to see it. That's interesting to me.
It was a good movie. It was really great.
Really? All right. Well, I'm going to find that. You know, you wonder sometimes, you know, criminals and thieves, and they come up with all these complicated like schemes and scams and things like that. And now it involves all kind of technology. And back then, just a guy looking through a paper. It's just...
Yeah, and he made a living doing it.
He
you
did.
Know, just a simple little deal. Look up the obituaries, and get all the information, order the Bible, and put it on the inside.
Oh, jeez.
And it looked like he was doing 100% business.
Yeah.
Because these widows would not turn that Bible down if their husband had bought it for them.
Yeah. And they didn't. And they ended up paying him. And, oh, my word.
And it was Ryan O'Neill who starred in it.
Really?
Ryan O'Neill.
Well, I got to find this and see it.
I knew it would come back to me.
Yeah. Oh, my word. All right. Nice. Not the best way to make money, but, you know, I mean, traveling salespeople used to be a thing. So, I don't know.
And then you had the Raleigh man. And that now that was real. The Raleigh man would come and bring you liniments. He had the best vanilla and all lemon, vanilla, all the different flavors. And it the Raleigh company made some really, really good products. And he would come to your house about once a month and see what the housewives needed.
Really? That's real?
Yes. He was a traveling salesman, but the products were real. The company was real. I think it's still in business.
Interesting. You know,
yeah.
Now that I think about it, we had and this has been, 10, 15 years ago maybe, we had some guy come up to our door, a traveling salesman, selling some kind of like carpet cleaner. And it was like some kind of magic, something could get anything on a carpet. And he demonstrated it, and we actually bought some, and it worked. It was great stuff. We can never find them again to get some more.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was a young girl, the first time he came, the other guy came. He was with Progressive Farmer. And the old Progressive Farmer magazine was sold throughout the nation, everywhere. Farmers bought it if you lived in town. But he came out in the country, and I wanted that magazine really bad. And my mother said, no, you cannot have the money for it. And I wanted it, and I asked the guy, I said, well, would you take a trade? I was probably 11 years old. He said, yes, I could really use some fresh eggs. I traded him the eggs for the Progressive Farmer magazine. And I got the subscription for 2 years. Now, how about that?
Look at you wheeling and dealing it at 11 years old.
Yeah, I always had something going, let me tell you.
Wow. Oh, my word. You were a business person from the beginning.
I was. I was in business for myself from the time I was 12.
Yeah, you were, literally. And he took you up on that. He actually traded it for eggs.
He traded, and he sent the subscription in my name, did the whole thing. And I don't remember how many eggs I gave him, probably a dozen or maybe two dozen eggs. And he made the trade. So everything wasn't cash and carry.
Wow. You know, I know we always talk about how you have a very interesting life and things are going on and they're crazy now. I didn't realize it went that far back when you were like 12.
Yeah, I was making deals then.
Clearly. Oh, my word. So you know what you're doing. You're a business person from long ago, so.
I was just trying to get my feet wet, you know.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, if you lived out in the country, people didn't come very often to sell you anything.
No.
So it was, you know, and to get the progressive farmer, wow.
Yeah. That was a big deal. I mean,
it was a big deal because the chance of you getting a magazine, what was the chances?
Yeah. And it was addressed to you, too.
That's right. Because I made the deal.
Oh, my word. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm serious. You need a book or a movie or something about your life. And it can't just be like starting like when you started like in your 20s. No, this has got to go back to when you were 10, 11, 12. Because this would be interesting and probably a learning experience for all of us who would watch it. Just knowing what you've done.
It might be interesting, to say the least.
Oh, wow. Ooh, so what are the big highlights from this week? What's going on?
Okay, the share policy has come in. It's in the bank. All those people have got money, a lot more money than they did have. The other three policies, we're still waiting on them to hit the bank. But altogether, it's $2 million that people are getting. And as you know, three of the policies came in early. One did not come in early. It was about 12 months over. But the others had months to go, and they came in within the first year.
Wow.
I mean, it is really unusual.
Yeah, especially for three right in a row like that.
That's right. And, of course, you know, I'm hoping every day for Musel and a couple others like Denton to come in. You know, I'm checking on them constantly.
Now, are those current policies or are those the old ones?
One's medium and one is the first one we ever wrote.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. This is Mr. Denton, the one we talk about. It's 92 years old.
he had a heart valve.
He put a heart valve in at 92. Nobody would do that. Nobody in their right mind. But they did for him because he's so wealthy.
Wow. Well, like so, you were saying before, what people do with their money, it's, you know,
it's strange.
It is strange. Know? Wow, that's for sure. All right. Well, then that's great. What, $2 million in people's accounts? That's what you said,
right?
That's right.
Wow. There will be $2 million total in their accounts in the next week, probably. The share policy is in, and that's a lot of money right there. It was the largest one. And then the others will be in, and all early except the one.
Wow.
So everybody's gotten some good returns. They got it quickly, and it shows what can happen.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, we talk about that, about how some policies will come in early and some will come in on time and et cetera, et cetera. But when it actually happens, and it happens in three times right in a row with these three policies altogether, I mean, that's unusual. It happens, but all three at the same time, that's, I mean, it's one of the things that we talk about, but it's different when you actually see it happening. And people.
That's right. And the premiums, if it had went longer, premiums were almost nothing, and they didn't get into the premiums on these three. The one had some premium payments, but the others had none. So
wow.
It was a win all the way around. You know, the old policies, they're much different now. The premiums were higher on those old ones. They had a deal where they could go up a lot. The new ones don't. The new ones... it is steady all the way through, and they're low premiums. In fact, they're so low, A lot of people send it in, you know, all at one time rather than monthly or quarterly because it's so small. But overall, people have made a lot of money. We've returned way over $200 million since we started.
Well, you know, and it's just like anytime anybody starts something new, especially, I mean, I would assume back when you started doing life settlements, it wasn't a widespread thing. And so I would imagine probably anytime you start something new, there's got to be some kind of a learning curve, a trial and error. You know, look at how
we
many
have
times.
We learned a lot.
Yeah.
We learned what works, what doesn't work. We learned how to do it a lot better. We learned how to get better life expectancies. And to watch that premium.
Yeah.
And now we guard that premium like it's our life.
Yeah.
We won't buy anything with a high premium.
Yeah, and that's one of the, I mean, that's one of the, I guess the main, I don't want to say the main, but it's a high priority when you're looking at policies. Not just the type of policy it is or, you know, all the other data that's inside there, but that's one of the things that is very, very important. You know, like even like you take like the Dyson vacuum cleaner guy. I was reading the other day, he did, I don't know, something like 1,700 different versions of it before he got it right. And so when you're first starting out, yeah, there's those that'll happen. It's just amazing how far you have come with the whole investment and the data that's available, the things that you look for. You know, when you're weighing different things like their lifestyle, what's in the policy, the data, the numbers, and all that, you know, when you've really, really honed in on how to balance all that data in there to make sure that it's a profitable investment for people.
That's right. And it takes a lot. You know, you have to work it from every angle to make sure it's right. And if it's not, do it differently. If you're doing it wrong, stop it and do it the right way.
Yeah. And so for many years now, you've really had it honed in. And there's even some policies that don't, like you were saying, don't have any premium. And so there's nothing to even, you know, worry about at all.
Some, and a lot of them have got a clause in there that if they become, you know, incurable, sick, that they discount and take away all premium till you die.
Yeah.
And so we've done several of those policies that had no premium whatsoever. Then we've done a few that had a premium for like 5 years or seven. And at the end of that time, it was zero.
Mm. Yeah.
And lots of times we can convert it from a term policy to permanent life where it'll never go up. But not every one of them can be converted.
Yeah, it's really on a case-by-case basis. But
that's
it,
right.
It almost,
you have to look at each one and see what it can be done.
Yeah, yeah, because there are options, you know, especially, if, like you say, if it can be converted, well, there you go. It takes care of a lot of things. But I think that's probably the one thing, I'm guessing, that when investors are hesitant about a policy, I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm guessing that the premium is one of the things that maybe they're concerned about. You've already scanned all these. You've already, you know, really dissected the policy before you even decide to bid on it. And knowing that premiums are one of your main focuses, people really don't have anything to worry about like they did at the very beginning.
We're a lot more careful now than we were.
Yeah.
You know, we know that's a big concern. You know, we know how drastic it can be if it is going up all the time. So we've taken every precaution now where that can't happen anymore, whether it's going to be a small premium or none at all, and then we're going to tell them up front how much it is.
Yeah. And so, you know, people know all this. It's the data. How do I say it's a very informed type of investment without people having to be some kind of a, I don't know, like a medical expert or anything like that. And so,
and it's not like if you're invested in the stock market, and, you know, that thing pancakes. They were talking this week about it, you know.
Yeah.
About what's going to happen in the stock market.
Yeah.
And it dropped quite a bit.
Yeah.
And this doesn't drop in value.
Mm-mm. No, it doesn't. And it doesn't, it's not affected by anything else. And the reason is because when it comes right down to it, you take away all the things that we talk about, take away all the benefits of the whole investment. What we're talking about is purchasing somebody's insurance policy And then when the policy matures, the payout goes to the people who have invested in that particular policy. And that's all it is. It works like every other policy. When it matures, they pay out the full amount. They never discount the amount. They never say, well, based on market conditions today, it's only worth X amount or 80%, or, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's an insurance policy. And so, I mean, I would think that probably as far as conservative investments go, this has probably got to be one of the biggest, most, can we use the word safe or conservative, or?
I would say very conservative, and it's gotten a lot better. The policies are better than they used to be. The way we do it is better. We've made it safer. We've made a lot of changes over the years.
Yeah. And the data's gotten better, too.
Yes, and we're getting better life expectancies than we used to. You know, they're not just kind of throwing it out there. They're studying it now. They're studying the doctor's reports, the hospital reports, everything about them. And we do, too. And we try to really be careful about that and, you know, really go after what the doctors are saying. If they say it's incurable, if they say it's stage four, we want to know it. We want it to be stage four. We want it to be metastasized to more than one location. So that's what we're striving for.
What else are you looking when you're deciding on, okay, should we bid on this policy? Or even if it falls in one of the categories that you like, there may be some things in there that maybe say, this might not be the most profitable and you may skip it. So what other types of things are you looking for in a policy?
Well, we're going to look at their age. We're going to look at what type of cancer it is, because we know which types of cancer are just dead gum going to kill you type. And so that is real important. If it's pancreatic cancer, we know it's dead serious. We know that if it's liver cancer, just so many kinds of lung cancer. And, of course, throat cancer is just really deadly. We've never had anybody survive it that we've bought a policy on.
No. And that's the other thing. Speaking of, you know, that, you yourself, not only just, you know, the historical, you know, things that people just already know in general, but you yourself have been known to go back sometimes in history, go back, analyze the data that you've had, the policies that you've had, just to make sure the things that were true, you know, in years past are still true. You know, so if there was, you know, like a some kind of a cure for some type, then you may.
We would certainly want to know it right away.
Exactly.
We don't want to buy anything that if they're going to live and not die, I can assure you.
Yeah.
And, we're guarding the information on them, you know, with if it was ourselves, because, these people put up their money with us. We want to be sure they get their money back plus the profit.
Yeah, I'm sure probably you have investors that maybe invested at the beginning, and obviously they've done well. And if investors are in more policies, obviously they've you know, been the most profitable and really expanded their portfolio. But you may have had some investors that maybe started at the beginning and maybe haven't done anything since, really. And then you've got some that, you know, have started probably more recently, not in those, quote, old policies, as it referred to them, and they're just jumping in, and it's just like the newer ones especially are just, you know, so much better policies. They're so much more targeted. There's so much more reliable data with these new ones.
They are a lot more reliable data.
Yeah. I'm sure
what they say is going to happen.
Yeah. And so the people who have invested in these new policies, and when we say new, I'm talking like the last several years new, not like just last week, but, you know, the last several years, you know, it's just incredible how you've been able to take a really conservative investment where people don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, wondering if they have anything left, wondering if, you know, the stock market's going to, you know, like you say, pancake, or, you know, what's going to happen. All those things are, for the most part, out the window. It's amazing how you've taken a conservative investment and made it even better. I didn't know a couple of years ago that it could get any better, but I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen, you know, the results that you talk about. And so it's just.
Yeah, and I've seen what people have made.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are consistent, they may have one that's old policy, it's just sitting there or two. But the others, if they'll keep investing, the newer policies are going to pay off and keep paying off until that old one pays off.
Yeah.
So, you know, the newer policies are doing better. They're paying better. They're paying quicker than the old policies.
Yes. That's another thing. Payouts have gotten streamlined and much faster than they used to be, too.
And the other thing that's faster is it was taking so long to get the death certificates. And with this new company we're using, they've got it all worked out, and we've gotten all of them really fast now.
Yeah.
And when they send it out, they're smart. They start sending the claim out while we're waiting on the death certificate.
Mm.
So the claim's already been turned in. They know there's a death. They know they're going to have to pay off. They know which policy it is. And then when they get the death certificate, it's fast.
Wow. So,
yeah. Because they've already got all the data, and they know that they owe it. And then they pay interest from the day that they get notice until they write the check, and that helps.
Yeah, it does. You know, I guess as you go through the steps of the process for paying out the policy, maybe steps that happen like in like step two or three, maybe they're starting about the same time as step one. So it does really kind of there are some things that are happening simultaneously that make it all much faster. So I guess what we're trying to say is that if anybody has maybe invested years ago and it's maybe been a while, this might be a good time to really kind of get back in, re-engage. Because things have gotten so much better. There have been so many different
improvements. That's right. It is better. You're going to get paid a lot faster. You're not going to have to wait on an old policy. The newer policies, you don't have to wait on. They come due pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And the data is much more. You can pretty much take that to the bank. Pardon the pun.
You can rely on it. It's a lot more reliable than it used to be, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and it's kind of it's a balancing act. So, you know, in order to I guess, balance out some of the older policies, these new ones are a great fit to kind of offset that. And that's really how it is supposed to work anyway. In fact, the more you talk about diversity all the time, the more policies that people are in, the more money they're going to make. And it's not, you know, something that's going to happen overnight. It's not supposed to. But over a number of years, you know, a policy matures, they reinvest. While they're in, say, 3, 4, 5, 10 other policies, those will mature, get paid, reinvest. And the process keeps going. It's almost like a giant game of leapfrog. But the more policies that people are in, the more money they'll make. And you've seen that over
That's
the years.
That's right. You need to be diversified in everything in life.
Yeah. Okay, so what about annuities? I'm curious about the bonuses. Are those still...
The bonus is a 16% is good through December the 3rd because all the money has to be there by the 4th. But it's going to go back down to the 14%.
Okay, which is
so
still not bad.
So after the 4th, it's still good. It's just the 16 was so good. You know, you get that extra money. And I've got several people putting money in now to get that 16% bonus while it's still here.
Yeah.
And these are people who've been with us a long time, and they have other annuities, but they're going to do some new annuities to get that 16%.
I mean, I don't want to call it a run, but I would imagine probably in recent weeks, maybe, you've probably had a lot of people call want to get into annuities because of the 16% before it expires, before it goes away, because that's just money on top of money. And you don't have to do anything. It's just
that's
literally.
Right. It's found money because not only is it going to make money every year, but you've got a good start on it because you've got 16% up front.
Yeah.
So that's the first year earnings plus whatever it earns.
Yeah.
So you've got the bonus plus earnings first year. And I don't think you can beat that anyway in the world.
No.
And the other thing is annuities, the principal's always safe in annuity. It's not ever directly in the stock market. It just mirrors it. If the stock market goes down, this just sits there. You know, it's locked in. But and you don't pay taxes till you take it out. So there's just really a lot of good things about an annuity. I don't know of anything negative about annuities.
Yeah. And the other thing is people don't have to wait for an annuity to become available, right? I mean, anybody can get in at any time.
That's right. And, if you're using big companies like we do, they're reputable, they're reliable, been in business a long, long time, and they just keep getting bigger and better and coming up with new plans.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know that they keep getting better and better, but it just seems like annuities have kind of like always been there in the background, and there's people just kind of maybe ignored them. Maybe the bonuses are what started getting people reinterested, I guess, about annuities. But boy, I tell you, it's for people who are looking for something conservative and not have to do a whole lot of stuff with it, you know, this might be the way to go. The payouts are consistent. You can pretty much put it on a calendar. You don't have to worry about you're losing your principal. It's got that stopgap in there. So
say IRAs are perfect because people that are retiring, this is what they do.
Yeah.
They get out of the stock market, they get in an annuity, and they're set for their retirement is all set. They can take 10% a year out. They can take 5% a year out, whatever they need. And it's consistent year after year after year. It's not like the stock market. It's up. Sometimes it's down. A lot of people lose a lot of money. They make a lot, but they may turn around next week and, lose it.
Yeah.
Because you don't have guarantees in the stock market.
No.
It's not that conservative. It's pretty wild right now. And an annuity is conservative. It's for people that want to just set it, relax, and let it make money and get a check every year and let it go at that.
Yeah.
And, it's better than a CD, pays better, got guarantees on it. I love everything about an annuity. And I always say it's a widow's and orphan's fund, because, if you die and leave your wife a widow, she's got an annuity that she can't outlive.
Yeah.
It's going to be there when she needs it.
Wow.
So, it doesn't matter. Come, rain or shine, the annuity's always there for you. I have a lot of people in annuities. They've gotten out of the stock market. They've retired. They cashed in and put it with us. They've got Roths with us. They've got IRAs. Husband and wife has IRAs. Both of them. Some of them have a joint account with us. And I've never had anybody complain about an annuity, never.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I can't seem to find any downside to it, I mean, you can find
it. I've never found a downside to an annuity.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what age you are, if you're 45 years old or if you're 79 years old, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
An annuity will serve the same purpose. And right now, you're going to get far ahead because you're going to get that bonus.
Mm-hmm.
16% bonus is nothing to sneeze at. Where in the world can you get an investment and get a 16% bonus only on an annuity?
Yeah, it's free. You don't have to do anything to get it. It's there. I mean, as long as you keep, how do you say it? As long as you keep for 3 years. Oh, you better say it. How does it work?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, to get the 16%, it's like you keep...
Oh, well, if you put money in every year for 3 years,
that's what I'm trying to say.
16% bonus for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't put in but $200,000 a year, you can do that. Or if you put $1 million up front, you're going to get that 16%.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of people that have big accounts. I've got some that have $100,000. The average is about $250,000 to $300,000.
Hmm. Well, that's not, I would imagine for some people, probably looking at annuities and life settlements might be, can I say the best
good.
Of both
it
worlds?
It works well.
I mean.
I've got a lot of people that are getting oil and gas checks right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them. So they're bringing those to us. So, I'll put it in an annuity. And that way they always know it's safe. They know where it's at.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Between the two, between annuities and life settlements, it just seems like whether people are looking for larger profits, but unknown when they'll get it. I mean, obviously, we have a general idea from the LE, but, you know, it's not like you can put it on a calendar. But with an annuity, you can. It's consistent. It's reliable. It's either way, we're dealing with life insurance companies, which aren't affected by anything else, and they have the reserves on hand at any time. So
if
you die,
they can pay you.
Yeah,
and you know, we've got some of our clients that's died in the last year. The annuities paid off. You know, the annuities were ready, and we are losing some clients. We have a client right now that has cancer. We lost a client last year to cancer, and it just seems like in the Permian Basin, a lot of them are dying of cancer.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's anything to do with oil and gas. I don't know. Chemicals, I worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know. But it does seem like it's, you know, it's hitting close for a lot of people that didn't plan on it or didn't think it would. And so, you know, it's just when people are looking at, okay, it's time for me to, you know, make sure that my family is taken care of. You know, if something happens to me, you know, make sure that, you know, my wife has something. Make sure that the kids have something. Grandparents will put these up for kids' college funds, or, you know, people do all kinds of things with annuities. But it's about the what? How did you say it before? It's for annuities are a widow and students, or
widows and orphans.
Widows and orphans. That's great.
Widows and orphans fund. It's safe for them.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. It'll be there the next 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you say it mirrors the stock market, but it's not in the stock market. It's got that stopgap. So people can watch the stock market go up and down, but they don't have to worry about their annuity going down, which is probably
the good thing about it.
Yeah. Probably just what they save in anxiety alone is probably just worth it just on that.
That's right. Because if you get in annuities, you won't have any more anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, you won't lay awake nights saying, oh my gosh, why'd I do that? You know, I put it in this new stock that the broker recommended, and now it's pancakes.
Yeah.
And some of these big companies this week that have went under, their stock today isn't worth anything, by the way.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. If they buy stock and one of these companies goes under, like that $100 million at that one company, They can't find the money. They said, you know, there's $100 million missing.
Oh, geez.
And the banks are all going to take a bath on that, a big bath.
Oh, wow.
And there's some of these other big companies that have all went into Chapter 7.
Jeez.
And, you know, they were public companies.
Yeah.
And all these public companies, when they go under, a lot of them have went under this year and some more to follow. You just lose. The stock is gone. And it went into Chapter 7, and it was delisted.
Yeah. And there's no pity fund, so you can't really go to anybody and say, geez, I didn't think that would happen. It was so great for so long, and then overnight, you know, it's worth nothing. Can I please get my money back? They're not gonna do that.
They won't talk to you when that stock goes under.
Not how that works. It's just gone, and you don't have to worry about that with either annuities or life settlements. So those that are riding the stock market or until early this week, there's probably people who are a little nervous now. But those who have been riding high for a little while, you know, this might be a preview, might be a reminder of what goes up always comes down. Maybe it's time to start looking at something a little bit more conservative so you can protect your principal and then not lose everything overnight.
Especially if you're getting ready to retire.
Yeah.
You want to be sure it's going to be there when you need it.
Yeah. Last thing you want to do is go back to work at 80. That's not good.
That's right. it's not a good idea, folks.
No, if you can get anybody to give you an interview, congratulations.
That's right. They're going to say, what? You want to do what?
Much beyond that, I don't think it's happening. So
that's
protect
right.
yourself.
I don't think it's going to work.
No. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's American Financial Midland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Willie Nelson.
Oh.
You know, he is an icon in the music industry. And he has just recorded his 155th song.
Really? 150?
That's why I thought about him.
Wow.
He's been around so long. He's 93 now.
Is he really?
He was born in 1933. He was born in Abbott, Texas.
Of course.
Can you imagine? Abbott, Texas. And when he was a kid, he lettered in football, baseball. I mean, you know, he was really kind of a star, you know, there in Abbott.
Yeah.
You know, Abbott was a very small town. But it's amazing. He moved to Texas from Arkansas in 29. And his grandfather worked as a blacksmith. His dad was a mechanic. And his mother left after he was born. And his father remarried and moved away also. And him and his sister Bobby were raised by their grandparents. And his grandfather taught singing back in Arkansas. And they started these kids in music. And he bought him a guitar when he was 6 years old. Taught him just a few chords. He recorded his first song when he was 7.
Oh, my, really?
Yeah. And his grandfather just taught him a few chords, taught him how to do just a little bit. And that's all it took. He joined his first band when he was 10 years old.
When he was 10.
Can you imagine? First band at 10. And then in high school, he toured with Bohemian Polka. He was their lead singer and guitar player. He graduated in 50. He went in the Air Force, but they discharged him because he had a bad back. And he went to Baylor University, mm-hmm. 2 years.
Yeah.
But he dropped out because he was doing so good in music. Then he worked as a disc jockey at radio stations in Texas, and he didn't know anything about radio. And they gave him a try and took him on.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he worked as a singer, a songwriter in the 50s. He wrote songs like Funny How Time Slips Away and Remember Hello Walls.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorites.
Oh.
Then Pretty Paper and Crazy.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I really remember. And he moved to Nashville. He signed with a publishing company, and he joined Ray Price's band.
Did he?
He joined Ray Price. In 62, he recorded his first album, and it was Then I Wrote. And it enabled him to sign with RCA Victor, and he joined the Grand Ole Opry. I didn't remember him ever being on the Grand Ole Opry.
No, me either.
And so things weren't happening just right. And in 1972, he moved back to Austin. And he even appeared at the Armadillo World Headquarters. But do you remember when he turned to Outlaw Country? Did Shotgun Willie. And in 75, he switched to Columbia Records. And that was when he did Redheaded Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember he made that movie with Anne Margaret that was so good, Redheaded Stranger.
Yeah.
And I thought that was one of his best movies. You know, he was married several times, had a lot of kids, had 8 of them. And, but, you know, the Outlaws, when he joined Merle Haggard and all the other people, let's see, Chris Christopherson was in that. I can't remember. There was one other guy.
But, was it Waylon?
You know, they did Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
And then he recorded with Jesse Coulter, also was in that group.
Yeah. Man.
And then they did, remember, On the Road Again?
Oh, yeah. I still hear that commercial.
The,
people use that.
And All the Girls I've Loved Before.
Yes.
And,
Julio Iglesias, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
And the Highwayman was Jennings, Johnny Cash, Chris Christopherson, all of them. And they did the Farm Aid deal. Remember when they did all those shows?
Yes. Yes, I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah. And at one point, he was so poor, he was going to go see his mother in Portland, and he didn't even have the money to get there. And he was selling his songs for $50 and $150.
Oh, wow.
That was when he first started, and he just hadn't even got a handle on it yet. And when he was young, he not only played guitar, but he picked cotton in the summer, and he'd earn money in dance halls, taverns, honky-tonks, and that was at 13.
Jeez, now you can't even get into any place like that at 13.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but Jimmy Rogers, Hank Williams, Bob Willis, and Lefty Frizzell, and Ray Price, those were all the guys he was with. But, it's an amazing story. You remember when the IRS took everything he had,
I do.
Hadn't paid all those taxes all those years. I never will forget that. I mean, they came and just literally took everything he had.
And
it was a long time before he pulled out of that, but he made it all the way back. It didn't stop him for long.
Mm-mm. I mean, yeah, I remember that. And so that was one of those things I'm thinking, man, he's never going to recover from that. And then he did.
Yeah. And, at one time he sold Bibles and vacuum cleaners door to door.
Oh, wow.
We were talking about all that sort of thing. And he did. He sold them door to door. I mean, there wasn't anything Willie Nelson hadn't done, I don't guess. But he's 93 now, just recorded the 155th song. I was so impressed. I said, how many people at 93 are still performing?
I know. Especially, and I saw sometime around they did that big birthday party with the big concert and all that. I think it was like right before that. I'm thinking there were rumors that he wasn't in really good health, and I'm thinking, man, I hope he, comes through. And he's come through, and it's like he came back from that, and it's just like,
well, and the last 3 or 4 years, everybody has put out these deals that he's dead, and he's not, of course. But I'm always saying it. Somebody said, "Oh, Willie died. He didn't want to die."
No. It's just, I don't think there's ever been more rumors, except for maybe Elvis. But it's like, yeah, there's always a rumor about Willie being dead, but he's not. He's around, and the fact that he's still recording is just, it's awesome. Yeah, I don't know any way to put it.
Oh, and Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Oh,
yeah, that is one of my favorites.
Yeah, nobody else could ever sing that the way that he does. There's sometimes you run into a song that no matter how good somebody might sing it, it's never like the original. That's one of them. Nobody will ever cover it like that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just, and Shotgun Willie.
Yeah.
That was in May of 73, I think.
Jeez. You talk about somebody who was a hustler. I mean, my word, between all the...
Oh, my gosh, he is a hustler from way back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. He's lived a very long life, very interesting life, kind of wild,
And when you start going through and you start saying, talking about his parents, there's not many people you can talk to today who can say that their dad was a blacksmith. I mean, that's old school. And so, just the fact that, he was born back then and he's still productive and he's still doing things and he's not, retired and faded away. The fact that he's still, not only is he still recording, but he's still relevant and people still get excited to see him in concert and they still...
Oh, yeah. I mean, he does concerts all over the United States.
Yeah.
And when he was doing those Farm Aid deals, he'd go to all corners of the world as long as there's a farmer there.
Yeah. Yeah. He really almost...
And then he did that Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Oh.
And that was a hit single.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. Oh, him and Waylon.
And Good Hearted Woman.
Yes. Oh, my word.
An Uncloudy Day. Remember that?
Oh, now we're talking about music. Yes.
Yeah, real music. Oh. I mean, can you imagine a kid at 7 doing his first recording?
I can't.
Wrote his first song at 7. I mean, grandfather just gives you a few chords. So now, son, here's a few chords. Here's your little guitar, cheap little guitar. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter to him. He took it and ran with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all he needed was the door cracked just a little bit, and then he's going to bust it open and run right through. It's just.
And what is amazing is, as talented as he was, he's just getting started. He went to radio stages. He went to dance halls. He went everywhere. Anybody that would let him sing.
Yeah.
He was there. And then having to sell his songs for $50 and $150 just to eat, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
It was tough.
It is.
But once he got to Nashville and met Ray Price and all these other people, Waylon Jennings, and got with them, they started recording all that together and it became famous. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and even his look, you know, even just early on, you know, clean shaven, short hair, I mean, suit, you know, suit jacket and tie, and, you know, just, it's so, just his whole image, what he became very early in his career, after he, you know, got through that clean, that clean look phase.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, just his whole image. You could put a vague cartoon of, you know, just like his head someplace, and everybody knows who he is. Everybody. And it's just
his
image, his sound, his songs, his just the whole thing is just, there's nobody that can own that like Willie.
I'm shocked that he could write this many songs. How can one man write this many songs? 155.
I know it. And none of them sound alike. It's not like, oh, that's a, he borrowed part from another song. And I mean, they're all different and they're all great. It's just, where
yeah,
you
I've
get
that? I've
never
heard one that wasn't really gorgeous. I mean,
yeah.
And growing up in church, you know, he did a lot of religious songs that are just to die for.
Oh yeah.
And, but if he hadn't, have, he would have never probably picked up that guitar and started writing songs.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like he also had a knack for doing things that he knew nothing about, whether it was like a couple of chords on a guitar and just took it and ran with it, or going to the radio station playing DJ, knew nothing about how to do that.
Yeah, he knew nothing about it. And they just took a risk.
Yeah.
And then when he went to Nashville and he was doing all this other, they heard him and introduced him to the right people.
Yeah.
Give him a chance. That's all it took.
That's all it took, yeah. And then he was just like, it's like he's been doing these things for forever. And he had, which was so great. I remember when we went to see him, I think the first time I was like 10, and somehow we got in the back of the building when he was on his bus and somehow got him to come out and give us an autograph. And he sat and talked, and he was the nicest guy. I still remember that from back when I was 10. And
what town was he in?
Oh gosh. I can't remember. I don't even remember. I can barely remember that.
Young.
Yeah. It's just him at his bus. Was just, it
wow,
was such,
isn't
it
that
left.
Neat?
I know it. And he came, because most people would be like, no, who are you crazy people? Get away from me. But he came out,
yeah.
Came down, sat there, talked to us forever, you know, gave us autographs.
Oh my gosh.
I know it. It wasn't even like an in and out, hurry, go away. It was, I mean, when you're 10, you have no idea about time, but it seemed like, I don't know, a half an hour maybe, just sat and talking. And we weren't even supposed to be there. We didn't
have a
pass or anything. We just snuck back there, and he still talked to
Lord.
Us. I mean, what a great
And he
person.
Was so nice to you.
Yes. Yeah.
How was he back then, do you know?
Oh, I don't know, but, I mean, he hasn't changed. I mean, his look hasn't changed much. I would say it's probably sometime in the, I don't know, late 70s, 80-ish, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a long time ago, but... But boy, it's just that has never that impression of how nice he was. It never left me. Never.
Well,
ever.
You know, he always seems really, really friendly.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody interviews him, he just seems like he's just picking and grinning. You know.
Yeah. It's just, you know, he's him, and like it or not, he's not going to try to impress anybody or be fake to, you know, to give off a certain look or impression or whatever. He's him, and I think the authenticity is a lot of what draws people to him. Not only him, but his music as well. So,
Oh, yeah, I think that his music draws millions of people, and they don't care that he's 93.
No.
He can do what he can do.
Yeah, just let him be him, and don't try to change him or anything. So, wow.
But his new album is called Christmas with Love.
Oh, I got to go check that out.
I mean, can you imagine? Just released it.
Wow.
Just in time.
Yeah, just in time for the holidays. That's on my list as well. Awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Well, I could sit here and talk about Willie all day, but somebody would probably get mad.
Biography would run a mile.
Oh, wouldn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
We could talk for days just about his biography alone. So, all right. Before we wrap, with a life settlement, there are two risks that people need to know about. What's the first one?
The first and the greatest risk is the premium. Make sure the premium is low. If you know what the premium is, you're in good shape. We always tell you what the premium is going to be before you go into a policy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other one is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. And when it matures, it is liquid. Remember, you have to be accredited to do this. So you must be worth either $1 million without your house, or you must make $200,000 a year.
Not bad. It's not quite the same for annuities. They don't have quite as many regulations. They check things, but as far as accreditation, it's not as strict.
You do not have to be accredited to do it. You don't have to be worth as much as you do the other way. And also, you have to have enough to pay your bills. You have to have enough cash in the bank. They're going to check your savings and all this.
Yeah.
So, but everybody that I know qualifies because they all have either a retirement fund or money that they're going to use for retirement. So it's never a problem.
Yeah. And when you say that, you know, what people's assets are, that includes, like, for life settlements, literally everything except their
That's
main
right.
residence.
Your horses, your cattle, your 401, your Roth, all kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is worth. People may have forgotten about an old 401k, like you say, you know, and so, you know, it is worth, you know, at least looking into it. If I know you've had people before that said, "Oh, I'm not really accredited. Why bother?" And then they add it up, and it's like they were more than accredited, and so it is worth looking at, you know, your assets if you're interested in life settlements. So
That's
it does
right.
pay off. All right. So this coming week is Thanksgiving. I assume you're closed on Thursday. What about Friday?
Yes, we will certainly be closed for Thanksgiving. We want to have lots of turkey, lots of dressing, lots of sweet potatoes, lots of pie, maybe, you know, a little cheesecake.
Oh, there you go. Now you speak my language.
It's all right to change it. Everybody doesn't have to have the same pie every year.
Oh, no. Variety is what makes this the spice of life.
That's right.
That's not how it goes. All right. So it's except for Thanksgiving. It is kind of a short week, but you are still here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if people want to call, make an appointment, come get started, or if they have questions, they do need to call. So, Faye, one last time, what's your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial Midland.com.